Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Uncensored. Kwadukuza today is caught up in a perfect storm of investigations, political paralysis, and questions of sustainability. At the moment, the municipality has been investigated by the Special Investigating Unit, who is digging into allegations of corruption and maladministration. NERSA is probing the municipality's handling of electricity supply and tariffs, and COGTA is monitoring governance failures. At the same time, the municipality remains without a permanent mayor. Factions are fighting for control, and that power struggle leaves service delivery in limbo. But beyond politics and power struggles lies another urgent issue: sustainability. Waste management, unchecked development, and environmental neglect are compounding the issues. Today, I'm joined by the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, better known as DOCRA. It's a growing civic force on the North Coast that has long been on the front line, working to hold local government accountable and pushing for better outcomes for our community. With me is Brian Pottinger, DOCRA's Vice Chairman. He's not only a leading civic voice, but also an accomplished author and the former editor and publisher of the South African Sunday Times. Together, we're going to be unpacking the investigations, the leadership vacuum, what Section 153 could mean, and ask if environmental sustainability is being sidelined. But most importantly, we ask, where does this leave residents and what comes next for our community? Welcome to the show, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Penny and Dave. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, let's just start with investigations. SIU, NERSA, and COGTA, they're all probing Kwadukuza right now. Can you break down for us what each one's looking into and where are they at the moment?
Okay, let's begin with the SIU investigation. That's a very specific investigation into particular allegations of corruption, which date back way back to 2018-19, but it has the mandate to expand it if it wants to. Yeah. That's a long-term process. Some of these investigations take between 2 and 3 years.
Okay.
So I don't think we're going to give an immediate response. As regards the COGTA inquiry, that one is recent, and that was precipitated by, as you know, DOCRA's representations. Presentation of two full folders of information. That inquiry, we understand, is now completed.
Okay.
But now it has to be submitted to KDM for comment, goes backwards and forwards, and then it can or may not be released. That's the next major battle to ensure it is released. Then the last one, of course, that you referred to is the NERSA inquiry. That too has been completed and has been referred to KDM for comment.
Okay.
And we're told every week, we're told next week it's out. So we're really, again, we may have to push for that because it's within the discretion of KDM as to whether to release them.
Gosh, that leaves us all very vulnerable.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously, if it reflects badly on them, they can withhold it. Is there any influence that we can put on them to release the reports as the general public?
There's a lot of public pressure that can be put on their applications that can be made to have them released. I don't want to be pessimistic now. Yeah. We've had no indication that they will refuse to release them, or at least truncated versions.
Yeah.
But it's always this question when you have reports like this that are at the grace and favor of authority. Yeah. How do you actually get to the real facts? But let's not be pessimistic.
Yeah.
The fact we've had the inquiry, one could even argue that the COGTA inquiry was precisely what sparked the ANC's decision to fire the mayor and deputy mayor. Or should I put it the other way around, invite them to resign?
Yeah, or recall them, as I like to put it. Do you believe these investigations will lead to real consequences? Or is it just another political wheel that will be swept under the rug, as so many before them have?
The inquiries can lead to significant and major change, but only under certain conditions. And the first and the foremost is that the public remains as committed as it is to insisting they would get positive results. The second thing is, another subject for discussion, is political stability in the council. Because you can have the best reports in the world, the best recommendations, the best interventions, but if there's political paralysis in the council, as we have, then nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, and on that point, Kwadukuza still has no permanent mayor, a leadership vacuum that has left the municipality stuck without proper service delivery. Now, to give us a brief update on the current political tussle, here's Independent Alliance's chairman, Kommie Nhleko, And he's just going to give us a brief outlook of what's unfolding at the moment.
Hi, Penny. I hope you're good. The issue with the delays of this inauguration of the mayor and deputy mayor is, of course, delayed by the internal factions from the ANC. The ANC has got nothing to do with the people. They're only thinking about themselves and nothing else. It is, of course, something that cannot be denied, that indeed the reasons as to why these things are getting delayed, it's due to the fact that these two guys, which is Alingidi and Jabulo Cele, their factions are ensuring that this process doesn't become successful. That means we are still going to get delayed to have a new mayor and a deputy mayor. Now, if you heard recently that there are issues, new issues from the ANC, PWC, whereby there are factions that are fighting within the PWC between Mr. Jeff Radebe and Mike Mabiakour. Someone is saying between these two gentlemen that one takes decisions without having to consult the other one. Now, if you look at those things, they are not prioritizing the people of Kwadukuza except prioritizing their interests and all the stuff. Well, we are looking forward, man, to see DA coming down to us, as we always do towards DA, and yet they change each and every time we want to actually nominate someone from the opposition desk or opposition side. We're willing to support anyone fit enough. Remember, we want someone who's going to crisscross the entire Kwadukuza municipality without a fear or favor. Now, we want a fit candidate from the opposition who will ensure that he or she addresses every single person, black, white, or colored. That's what we want.
Yeah, that was Kami giving us a downplay on what's happening. So that's the impasse. You know, that means service delivery and accountability is at stake. Brian, do you think that it's better that the opposition has a candidate that, you know, comes from a party other than the DA, and rather than see the ANC continue, you know, holding its dominance on the municipality? And David, would also be nice on your thoughts on that as well.
Ah, no, I don't think it would be, because my thoughts are quite bitter about all this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very, very jaded when it comes to politics, particularly local politics. I remember sitting in this very studio with Dean McPherson and Michael Beaumont, representing their two respective parties.
That was Action SA, for people who don't know. Michael was Action SA.
There we go. And it was on the eve of a crucial vote of no confidence that would have got rid of the ANC out of this KDM. All the cards were being held by, at that stage, the Democratic Alliance, because they had the numbers. They were, with the various players in the council, they had the majority. If they all voted together, yeah, common cause, they could have swept the board and brought. And they wouldn't, because, as Dean McPherson said, we have a position where we don't negotiate with the EFF and we don't allow anyone else in our coalition to talk to them either. And if they do, we've got no deal with. I said, well, that's a silly situation, because you cannot then win this vote of no confidence. And, you know, yeah, on that point, they decided, okay, we will still go ahead with the vote. Why? Because they didn't have the numbers. It was a whole sham. You know, everyone was and they said, well, because we don't want this municipality to go into administration, because it will be terrible. I put it to you this way. I don't think it could be worse than it is right now.
Yeah. We actually on the brink of maladministration.
Well, you know, so what's going to change, yeah, really and truly? And as I said to Privy when she was in here from the DA having a chat, you know, if every single person in Balito votes DA in the next municipal election, what will change? And there was this same sort of silence that we've got now.
Yeah. Crickets.
Because we actually do not contain, collectively, a majority one way or the other. Yeah. We will still have exactly the same number of seats in council with the same problem that we get down to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm beginning to think that the only thing that's going to ever rescue our beloved country is a benevolent dictatorship across the board.
Brian, what do you think? You know, there's been talk about Section 153. So for those who don't know the municipal jargon, is that the province actually, sometimes the province steps in due to lack of governance or maladministration, issues with finances, and they take control of the municipality. And they're talking about that. The action SA is actually called on that. What do you think about that? I know...
Can I come to that in a second?
Yes.
I must respond to what Dave said in his normal, intriguing and provocative way, much of which I agree with. But I would make this simple point, is that I'm not sure who said it, is that there's one thing worse than democracy is no democracy. And so I think we have to battle through on this. Also, we need to remember that we are facing kind of a watershed, because the next elections are going to be completely different at local government level. So new possibilities then emerge about new alliances and how do we go forward. The current crisis, however, my view is quite simple. If we can get our municipal elected officials to just at least come together and decide on a mayor and a deputy mayor who's acceptable to the majority of councillors, just elect them. It doesn't matter what party they come from or who they are, as long as they're competent and honest, put them in. And then ultimately it doesn't matter if EFF is voting with the DA on certain issues or against them. It means that you've actually got at least somebody in the centre and you can move forward. At the moment, and remember this, this is the second state of paralysis we've had in 12 months because of ANC factionalism.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can look to the ANC for salvation.
No.
The DA itself has got its own specific problems about the EFF after the Tshwane experience. Well, that's politics.
Well, the coalition is, it's by parties, not the public.
No.
And that's what the downfall is.
That's it. But, you know, at the moment, if we can just get some kind of compromise candidates and get everybody mobilized around it, we could move forward.
Yeah.
Okay, that's there. But coming back to the questions of 153 and 154 of the Constitution, and there's another section, 139. Now, those are very specific measures by which provincial or central government can intervene in councils which are failing. The 154 interventions then say specifically we will give you assistance in key areas of governance. And each municipality is different. They craft something, they gazette it, and then they go in and support them. And that has worked in some areas, but not in others. The big bazooka is 139, whereby democratic processes are suspended and an administrator comes in. Now, there are at the moment 39 municipalities under Section 139 administration, and the most recent report, the May report this year from the Parliamentary Budget Office, indicates they've all been failures. So, in other words, you're bringing in these administrators who make nothing better, either because they're so opposed by the local bureaucracy or because the administrators themselves are no more competent than the guys they've thrown out. We don't want to go there.
Yeah.
We think that there is sufficient resilience and infrastructure and competence in KDM for us to pull this through once we get the political leadership stored and we get stability. And that's what DOCRA has written and approached the provincial government departments, COGTA, to say, please intervene. This can't go on. We are now in overtime in certain of the key statutory responsibilities of the council.
Yeah.
All of it now held hostage to the meanest, pettiest party political, internal party political bickering.
Yeah, and you know, it's shocking when you look at the two candidates that ANC proposed as well, Linda Naka. She was the previous mayor before Ali, who was voted out because of corruption and maladministration. And then Gumede, he was previous mayor at Lembe District, and under his watch, the entire water system was in complete failure. It was, you know, people are experiencing water outages on a daily basis now, and this was under his stewardship. So it's very bleak at the moment. We're hoping that there's going to be enough pressure to possibly turn this around. We'll see. I think it will become a tale, a success tale, if that happens. Can we move now to the sustainability and the environment beyond politics? Waste management, we've got unchecked development, flooding, erosions, they're all becoming serious issues. I know DOCRA has an environmental committee that works very hard, and they've also implemented some really key projects that are quite positive. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Thanks, Penny. And when you say we all work very hard, no one works harder than you do on that committee. So thank you to you for all the efforts that you put into the rest of the guys. We've got a number of projects. Our objective, as you know, is we're not grand blue sky stuff. Yeah. We're leaving the saving of the planet to others. All we want to do is just clean up the neighborhood.
Yes.
So we're focusing on very much anti-pollution measures, whether it's in water or air or pollution through illegal landfill sites. We've had some successes in closing some of the, or one of the major illegal landfill sites. That was dint of a lot of investigation, drone flights, footage, statements, deeds office searches. That's now closed, vegetated and compacted. But as always happens, the operators, the illegal operators, have simply moved to another site.
Yeah,
we start again. So at the end of the day, it's just to try and make people, the bad guys, convince they must go somewhere else. That's the one area we've been working at. We're trying to work with CSER to try and get sort of early warning alert systems for water pollution. They have some exciting new technology coming through. Brilliant if we can link up with them and give early warning alerts. The third area we're working with, of course, is air quality. And we're working closely with our very, very strong partner, Communities Against Pollution, led by Paolo Del Fabbro. And what we are doing there is linking into their network of privately maintained independent air quality monitors. DOCRA has sponsored two and has agreed to sponsor another two. Essentially, Paolo's operation is the only one providing any credible data.
Yeah.
On air quality. And we all know you can only precipitate movement by local authorities if you've got data.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at now is developing that system further, if we can, with Paolo. And we're also now proposing to do a much more activist promotion and information programs through the DOCRA platforms, alerting people to air quality issues.
Yeah.
So we've made some advantages in the local North Coast Fire Protection Association is giving us alerts as to when they are stopping burning or where burning is illegal, cane burning. And we've just got agreement now to launch what we're going to call an Eye in the Sky project, which will be volunteer drones, which will identify repeat illegal burning of commercial and industrial waste. Not the guy burning in the back garden or cane burning or burning along the side of the roads. Once we get that, we get the coordinates, we get the date stamps, and we are in negotiation with the local fire department how we can execute that in terms of precipitating investigations and hopefully prosecutions on their part. So really what we're saying to those guys who are doing all this illegal burning, Eye in the Sky is coming.
Yeah, sure, that's watch very out exciting.
For it. Yeah, watch out for it because we will stop you.
Yeah, and we're going to be featuring some good footage and just getting that out.
Some of it's amazing it's because a lot of this exciting. Burning is done in the middle of fields.
Yeah.
So the vehicles and the tenders from the fire department have difficulty getting there.
Yeah.
If you give them specific locations, which that data with the actual the coordinates, they're in a much better position to identify what the problem is, send out the appropriate tenders, and of course they have evidence. Now, that evidence is not necessarily usable in court, but it is the precipitator which allows them to begin their own investigation.
Yeah. And it's exciting because when I first got involved with Paolo's CAPS, I said, your e-monitors are picking up this. Come on, let's prosecute it. It was like, rah, rah, let's go. And he says, no, we need data. Mm. We need data. And then once we have data, we have the power. And then we hit them where it's going to hurt the most. And that's
every bit of experience I have. It's great, but what the public needs to do is keep reporting.
Yeah.
So you can build up the database. You can build up the record. And then you're in a much better position to pursue the issue.
Yeah. Just one last question. I know it's my thing. Just given the investigations, the leadership vacuum, the environmental issues, what do you see as the biggest threat facing residents right now on the North Coast?
Well, there's everybody faces multiple threats, I think. I think that the major concern at the moment is the question and the rapidity of development without the underlying infrastructure to support it. And that's something that you've got to get a sync between the two. You don't want to slow down development because it has all those job creation opportunities and the good stuff. On the other hand, if you overburden the infrastructure, you're in trouble. We saw what happened over the last summer season, catastrophe, and that was basically an undersupply of electricity. for the demand and the requirement. Yeah. Now, we need to work to fix that. Yeah. That's a big challenge. The other challenges are the ones that we all confront in all urbanized environments, and particularly ones which have large informal settlements. Yeah. That's the question of actually keeping a clean environment. And the last issue, which is also very important, is the question of, not the last, but the second to last, is the question of safety and security. Finally is finance. Yeah. It always comes down to the bucks. We've had a very good record up to now. We should be very grateful for that. But we are suffering enormous losses because of the failure of the municipality to be able to recover the money that it has spent on buying electricity on our behalf.
Yeah, and that's like a very critical issue, which could possibly lead to the collapse of our municipality. And going forward, just one final question. What role can the public play in supporting our civic groups like DOCRA and helping to, you know, make our voice stronger to keep the municipality accountable?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is to join organizations like DOCRA or any of the sister organizations in our umbrella body, which is the Quadacusa Organized Residents Alliance. Join. Money counts. It helps us to build up war chests for legal actions and for sponsoring activities which support our interests. Do that. But also don't, you know, it is important not just to send the check.
Yeah.
Be there for the meetings. Communicate. Sign the petitions. Get involved. Because at the end of the day, if we do not create the environment that we want to live in, nobody else will do it for us.
Yeah, and you know, that's what we've heard today, is Quadacusa is facing not just one problem, but many. Mm. And change will only come not from government alone, but it'll come from residents and our civic groups demanding accountability. And when civic voices like DOCRA keep pushing, and when we refuse to accept neglect as a status quo. Thanks for joining us on Uncensored. Thanks, Brian.
Many
it's been
thanks.
Very informative.
Many thanks.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.